Hello there, Dunder Mifflinites, and welcome back to The Office ASMR, a podcast to relax, enjoy, and most importantly, fall asleep to. I mean, really, that's the primary reason I do this. Tonight, we are looking at Season 3, Episode 3, and that is directed by Greg Daniels, written by Paul Lieberstein, and aired October 5th, 2006. It's been interesting these past couple of weeks because Greg Daniels has been doing a lot of press around his new show, Upload, for Amazon. And there's even a scene right in the first episode where they show, because Greg Daniels, before The Office, was a successful television writer and then producer. He did a few episodes of The Simpsons, from my understanding. Then he did King of the Hill, massive. Then The Office, then Parks and Rec, and then I think he might have gone back and done some Simpsons, and now he's doing Upload and about to do Space Force with Steve Carell. So maybe the offshoot of this is Space Force ASMR. I don't know about that, but you know, it's been interesting the past couple of weeks. It's also super interesting. I know I don't think you're going to hear this for a few weeks, but I'm recording this right around when Upload premiered on Amazon. It's interesting that Mike Schur, who was a writer on The Office and then, you know, Parks and Rec creator, and Greg Daniels, both of the projects after, you know, The Office and Parks and Rec were centered around death and what happens after death. I find that fascinating. The Good Place has always been on my list to watch, now more than ever, because, If I wasn't doing this, I would have time to watch The Good Place. But I would rather be here with you right now, helping you fall asleep. And I think that's enough preamble for tonight. We'll get into the episode here. Let's make sure our sleep timers are set. Should be about 21 minutes to get you through the episode. And it's just a special thank you to the very kind iTunes reviews that have been coming in. That definitely, you know, propels me forward and makes me feel appreciated, because I'm hoping this is out there helping people, but it's hard to know because you're all asleep. But anyway, thank you for those iTunes reviews. Really appreciate that. And for now, let's get into the coup. Start off here with a shot of the microwave, and Michael's very excited for the movie. And this is Movie Monday that he implemented, the Monday Blues. It's interesting, his DVD is stored in the safe. He opens the safe, and that's where the DVD is. Now we have most of the office in here. Pam offers popcorn. Looks like she popped about 7 bags of popcorn, and nobody wants popcorn. And Pam's now explaining that their Movie Monday started because of training videos. And then, you know, they went through those pretty quickly. And now they started to do movies. Except for Entourage. They did one episode of Entourage 6 times. And Michael just says, Entourage. I never watched Entourage. You know, I try to be culturally relevant and hip. And, you know, I've watched The Wire. I've watched The Sopranos. I'm not really into Game of Thrones. I'm not really into fantasy. And, like, The Office, to me, is almost like nonfiction. I don't know. So now we're back in the conference room. Kevin is selected to do the recap of what was done on Varsity Blues. And we have a shot through the window of Jan coming into the office from the parking lot. And not looking too happy. Oh, Dwight says, not everyone approves of Movie Monday. He won't say who. And then Angela says, I don't approve of Movie Monday. Angela rats them out by pointing to the conference room. Now the lights are off and everybody's just kind of watching watching the movie. Michael says, "Hey, Jan, hope you're at the milk duds." And now everybody is out of the conference room. Michael says, "She wants to know how it would increase productivity." Michael says, "Everybody has to work faster to make up for the time that they lost watching the movie." We have Angela walking past Dwight. It says kitchen. And now we have Dwight and Angela in the kitchen staring at opposite walls, talking to each other. And Dwight says, "Ever since Michael dumped Jan for Carol, Jan's been bitching out on him." Angela is now sowing seeds of a mutiny into Dwight and says, "You should be running this branch." She says, "It's not up to Michael. It's Jan's call. Sit back and do nothing and let us all get fired." This is the first time that you see Angela kind of manipulate her way into things. Angela says, "Look, you know, patience is a virtue, but sometimes you need to grow a pair." And now we're over at Stanford, and Jim is explaining that, you know, they all play Call of Duty, and it started as a team-building exercise. And it was a... And now, you know, they don't do any games in Scranton, but... Pam and Jim used to play these tricks on Dwight. Pretendinitis is what they called it. And I mean, the first red flag with the Call of Duty thing is, I mean, first, this was like Call of Duty 2 in 2006. This was, I guess it would have been on the consoles, but I don't think office desktop computers would be able to run modern Call of Duty. So that's why it's interesting. But it's good to see the game is as relevant now. There's few games, you know, like we're going to get a reference to Second Life here very soon. And that is not going to hold up well as a reference the way that Call of Duty does. And as I've been rambling here, Pam has received a lot of clothes because Kelly has tried to get her to go, you know, upgrade her wardrobe. And she's asking for a fashion show at lunch. Now, Jim, we're back in Stanford. Jim kills Andy and says, Andy's angry because Jim killed him. He says, "You had to kill the British. We're the Germans, bro." We have a shot of Dwight sprinting in the parking lot, very flustered and upset. He's on the phone, says, "Is this Jan? This is Dwight Schrute. I am calling about an extremely sensitive matter." And she says, "You talk to Michael, he talks to me so that we don't have to talk." He's trying to hide from the camera. And Kevin's walking through the parking lot. That's weird. Dwight says, "Pull over at exit 40. There's a Liz Claiborne outlet. I know you like that store. Go inside and shop until I can meet you. Many of your blouses are Claiborne's." And she says, "How do you know that?" He says, "It's part of my job." She says, "Officially, it is not noted." Now, Dwight says, "I'm going to the dentist," to Michael. Emergency crown. Michael really doesn't care. The new dentist. He's far. And Michael, yeah, he just doesn't care. Have fun. But Dwight, you can see he is very concerned. Dwight, talking to Jan, "Did you get anything new? Blouse, camisole, halter top?" Now they're at a diner. Dwight is saying he can save the branch. "What would you do differently than Michael?" "Get rid of waste. Half of the people there. Clean house." He's getting, oh my God, I would eat some pancakes right now. Look at that waffle. I'm on this diet. I shouldn't call it a diet. The way that I eat, the food that I eat now is all very protein rich, and I have these Kodiak cakes that you can get them at Costco, and it's like they're full of protein, but they're also high in carb, and I don't really do carbs, but that's like my one treat on a Saturday or a Sunday as I make these flapjacks. They are 12 inches because I use this one pan. I do the same thing every weekend. I use this one pan. They're 12 inches. They're massive. I put a tablespoon of Kerrygold butter and then some maple syrup. And my mouth is watering so hard right now. And I crush those pancakes. Absolutely crush those pancakes every weekend. And like, I'm so hungry. I'm not hungry. I shouldn't say right now I'm very hungry. I just had dinner. I'm not hungry. I totally just skipped over all the stuff that's happening. Jan calls Michael, says, Dwight just met me, told me that he could replace you. Michael says, he can't turn Jan against me, my former lover. Now we're at the fashion show, the lunch fashion show. And Pam's trying on new clothes. Roy walks in and says, hey, you look nice. Kelly asks if that was Roy's third soda, because that's the excuse he uses to go up and grab stuff. And now we have the lights turning off in the Stanford branch. We have Karen Filippelli giving us the rock symbol saying Call of Duty. We have, what is his name? Josh? Josh asks Jim and Andy to come into his office. He says, look, we're getting slaughtered out there. We need a strategy. Set up a trap in the gun room. We're using the MP40 or the 44 sniper rifle. You can't use sniper rifle in Carrington. Saboteur. I'm going to kill you for real, Andy. The game is over. I'm really going to shoot you. That's one of my favorite Andy scenes in the entire series, Saboteur. We have Dwight back in the office, Michael sitting at Ryan's desk. Michael says, hey, you want an M&M? You should have an M&M, they're really good. Michael is not impressed. He looks very frustrated. Dwight says he is stuffed, not that he can't eat any. Michael says, with his eyes, he says, I thought you can't eat anything for a couple hours after a crown. Dwight is had. He looks seen right there. He says, look, quick dry and bonding. What's his name? Pause, long pause. Crentist. Your dentist name is Crentist. I feel like they couldn't get through this scene. I would love to see the bloopers of this scene. Because they're playing it so well. They're so pissed. Michael says, let me see your teeth. Let me see him. He opens up. And Michael, he says, you should floss. Oh my God. Michael is not having any of this. He says, I'm glad you're okay. Very ominously. Now we have a talking head. Michael says, business is like a jungle. I'm like a tiger. Dwight is a monkey that stabs a tiger in the back with his dick. Does the tiger fire the monkey? Does the tiger transfer the monkey to another branch? He's excited about that pun. has no way of knowing what goes on inside the tiger's head. You don't have the technology, but it's Michael. Michael is the tiger. Michael calls Dwight into his office, gives the camera a nice nod look. Now Michael says, "Oh, this is tough." Dwight is super nervous. And Michael says, "Look, I just got off the phone with Jan. And..." Dwight looks like he's gonna pass out. Michael says, "Look, she demoted me. You know what the craziest part of this is?" Dwight, she says, "You get a call later from corporate, and you're going to be acting manager of Dunder Mifflin Scranton." Dwight is extremely relieved. He says, Michael says, "I don't know if you want to do it. You've always been so loyal. My most trusted ally." "Yep, I did." Dwight is waiting for an opening here. And he says, "If you think I should, then I will." Michael, playing this pretty well. Dwight has a whole new demeanor. "Assistant to the regional manager, thank you for staying on. I can't imagine this place without you. Oh." Yeah, Dwight's standing a little taller. A little more cocky, you could say. And then he calls him Mike. "Let's do it." Oh, that look. That's an amazing scene. Michael says, "Look, I have some good news and some bad news," as he addresses the office. He says, "I'm being replaced by Dwight. You may think that I'm kidding." And Joe says, "Congratulations, Dwight." Stanley asks, "Why Dwight?" And he says, "Because Dwight never lies." Ryan, everybody looks confused. Dwight says, "I just want to say to the few of you who will remain under my employ will lead to the black veracity." Michael, you might lose your condo. Pam's talking head, "I have this old vacuum cleaner that's broken. If that doesn't work out, he can be manager." Now we have Angela and Dwight back at the vending machines. Angela says, "We can make a difference here." Dwight says, "I will make a difference here. Don't be naive. You can be in charge of the women," he says. And Angela's seems to be pleased with that answer. Now we have Karen. We're at Karen's desk, and he's saying he's trying to shoot with a smoke grenade, and she tells him how to turn around and shoots him in the head. "You killed Jim Halpern." Psychopath. And you can see Karen's got a little crush going on Jim there, as we all know. We're back at reception. Creed walks up to Pam and says, "Just looking." Because that's why it's Pam's new dress. She's going to keep the clothes. It'll be cool to have some after work clothes that aren't pajamas. A little ahead of its time for the current situation we're in. And we have Dwight clearing Michael's desk. And Sid gives him the keys to the Sebring. Says, no, thank you. I'm going to get something more sensible. A convertible in this climate? Are you kidding me? Something with decent gas mileage. Michael doesn't like that he doesn't sell the Sebring. That's my car. And he shouts at him. I know, Dwight. I know. Jan called me about your meeting. I know what you did. And now Dwight is saying the Sebring is cool. How dare you, Dwight? Dwight is now kneeling down. Give me one good reason why I shouldn't fire you right on the spot. He says, I will do anything. I'll do your laundry for a month. I have a laundry machine. Dwight's now on the floor crying. I'm so sorry. You can't trust me, but I'll never betray you again. And he's just like shoving his butt in the air, head into the floor. Ryan is kind of disgusted by the whole thing. Get up, he says. Get up. I have a laundry machine. He says, you can hug it out, bitch. Big squeeze between the two of them. Michael says, hug it out, bitch. That is what men say after a fight. Now we have a shot of just Michael and Dwight watching a movie in the conference room. Angela looks by, disappointed. Michael says, not good to say that to a woman. Doesn't translate. Now we have Jim packing up in Stanford. And Karen still sitting there. Jim tosses a grenade. Like mimes tossing a grenade. Those two are cute. It's interesting to see she's like a little nervous. Yeah. Michael says, hey, look, we hugged it out, but I was still a little angry, so he's punished. We have a shot of Dwight standing in the middle of the office wearing a sign that says, liar, standing in the middle of it. And Michael says, and I'm going to make him do my laundry for a year. How convenient. And that'll do it for the episode. So that'll, I'll wrap us up for episode 3. See ya next week. Sleep tight. And this has been a great Scott production.